and welcome to We're All Gonna Die and Other Fun Facts, a semi-regular, occasionally amusing, and rarely funny series of conversations on a random topic. This episode is entitled, with all apologies to the Minutemen, Bob Dylan wrote Popperganda songs, and it's about, I'm not sure what it's about, really. It's about music and meaning. Music and meaning, that's what it is. That was a good save, okay. I think. That was a good save. And our guest for this episode is someone who knows a little bit about making music with a meaning. It's Mr. Derek Zanetti. Did I pronounce your last name correctly?
Yep,
yes. Who is part of the Homeless Gospel Choir?
Is currently and past the Homeless Gospel Choir.
Okay.
And future Homeless Gospel Choir also, until it's not there anymore. But yeah, right now it's the Homeless Gospel Choir and just me.
And it's just you, and explain to the good folks listening at home or wherever they might be, what is the Homeless Gospel Choir, what do you do, what's your deal?
Okay, the Homeless Gospel Choir is a name that I came up with for an acoustic music project that I started a number of years back, and it's just a means for me to go ahead and share some of the thoughts that I have inside of my life with other people, and it's, you know, I always kind of maybe considered it to be like turning on the news. You get to hear the news and you get to hear what's going on in the world, but it's through only maybe one perspective. And I just share my own version of the news of how it applies to me and in song form. And I just go there and I play coffee shops and venues all over the country and other countries too. And house shows and basement shows and church shows and bar shows and everything in between, gymnasiums and under bridges and everything like that, and just play for people that want to hear it. And we just have, it's kind of like a discussion of types, even inside your own mind, about the world and how you feel about it.
Yeah, and yours is a like kind of pinko commie perspective, right? Sorry, I'm just messing with you. But
I've been accused of such idealism. It's just a... More of a perspective of how I wish things were, maybe, sometimes.
Mm.
That, yeah. And sometimes the way that I wish things were maybe a little bit more together. Like, we work together towards making things better or different, rather than everybody just fend for themselves. Which can work for certain people, but doesn't always work for all the people.
Yeah, I mean,
some people call that communism. I just call it being a buddy.
Yeah, no, we live in a society, and my own pinko commie liberal academic work really has been about, this kind of moment in history that we have where, we are all on our own, and we have all this crazy anxiety, and there is this total lack of stability, but... Mm-hmm. I guess supposedly we get something out of it. Not sure what that thing is sometimes.
I think it means different. It definitely means different things to different people. What you're trying to get out of this whole life thing, you know, or what normal is, or if you want to be normal, or whatever. Maybe your normal is like completely abnormal to me, and that's what you want to get out of it. And that can be okay at times too.
Yeah, absolutely. There's this other idea that I'm really interested in. There's this British criminologist named Jacques Young, and it's J-O-C-K, like the strap, which mm-hmm. is weird. Jacques Young, and he's got this theory, it's called the vertigo of late modernity. And what he says is where we are now is we're at this place where individualism has never been more valued.
Mm-hmm.
And you're on your own, and maybe there's not necessarily a safety net or sense of stability or any of that shit. But at the same time, all the things that people used to have to make their lives or their personality or whatever, those things have never been more devalued.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where all these things, whether it's how you feel about the government, how you feel about your church, your profession.
Sure.
All of those things have kind of turned to shit.
Yeah.
Or at least the way people perceive them has turned to shit. And so then, what kind of space do people make for themselves, or how do people manage that? You know, is it buying shit? Is it the shit that you buy, the shit that you own?
Yeah. That's a great question to have. One thing I've noticed is that it seems like there's a great lack of interpersonal relationships mm-hmm. as of recently. Mm-hmm. Whenever you were a kid, and whenever I was a kid, you know, you wanted to go with other like-minded people. So you go to Club Laga, or you go to the mm-hmm. you'd go to Metropole, or you'd go to wherever it was having shows in Pittsburgh, and you'd go and go to a punk show, and there was a bunch of like-minded folks there with you, and y'all were going to go there and listen to music or hardcore music or metal music or folk music or whatever it happened to be, and there was like a place of belonging. There was like all week long you're just a weird kid that didn't necessarily mm-hmm. fit in, or you might not have had friends at school, or your job sucked, or your parents sucked, or whatever, and there's like this place of belonging. And I think like with this whole isolation disease that I think we suffer from in this country, yeah. that like you don't have to leave your house because you have fake friends on the internet, like Facebook or Friendster or MySpace or whatever happens to be popular for the moment, and like you can just sit there and have conversations with people from across the country, but like have no real interpersonal experience with like having a buddy,
yeah,
you know, or like having a friend, or like sorting out your demons or your mm-hmm. or your good things even too, like celebrating a milestone or whatever. You can't celebrate with someone. I mean, I guess you could celebrate with someone over the internet, but it's not as good as like sitting in a living yeah. room with your buddies and you know, your friends and having a couple beers and a pizza. Like,
yeah,
that's a very like
yeah.
holy or, thing for me.
Or for me too, the happy accidents in life.
Sure.
Like the shit when shit goes wrong, or you bump into somebody. I mean, how do you bump into somebody on the internet? How does something unexpectedly bad happen that then becomes a really cool story mm-hmm. or a moment where you really do bond with someone or really find what that person's about?
Sure.
You know. And I guess I like to think sometimes that I'm ahead of the curve, and it's not just my pretentiousness, but it's also because I grew up in New Jersey.
Oh, right on.
Where everybody was isolated and weird. And, you know, I mean, I grew up in a white flight suburb.
Sure.
Where it was, this is who we are, and we can afford to live here. And that's what was important and meaningful.
Yeah.
And that's what made you who you were. And so, damn it, every day that I went to school, somebody asked, like, where did you get those shoes? Where did you get that shirt?
Yeah.
And it was a way of sort of sizing up, well, where do you shop? And that's where you are, and that's who you are.
Yeah.
And it was just, it just made me, I mean, that's why I do the all black thing.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm just dressed.
Yeah.
You know, and there's no brand, and there's no logo, and there's no nothing. It's just, you know, you can't see my junk, I'm good.
Yeah.
Which has kind of become a thing, and it's always when I meet people, you know, it's a great, you know, it's a great moment, you know, when they feel comfortable enough with me to ask.
Sure.
So do you wear black every day?
Are you sad?
Are you sad?
You look like somebody who could be sad.
Yeah. I mean, I frequently am, but it's not, sure. The clothing does not reflect that.
You have to, yeah. It's okay to be sad sometimes or happy. Or happy sometimes, or feel anything sometimes. I think all the feelings are good to feel sometimes, in moderation, to have those feelings. But I just think it's funny that people can associate the color of your clothing with what your mood is supposed to be. Or yeah. even like you were saying, like the value of your humanity by what name brand t-shirt or sweater you have to have yeah. to make you feel okay or not feel okay, or, you know... I've always struggled with this idea of, like, not being, like, punk enough, like, my whole life.
Because
you see a kid with, like, a huge, like, pink mohawk or a, you know, a crazy black flag back patch or, you know. And then, you can decide maybe you want to get a black flag back patch so that you can be punk as punk, too. And then you go to a different show and then all those kids are into, like, real, like, obscure Swedish hardcore punk, and you're like, yeah. Well, shit, they don't even like Black Flag, so I gotta go ahead and start listening to like Skull Drill or like some other like real odd band from Finland that nobody's ever heard of, but those kids. And then you're like, all right, I'm into Skull Drill now. I'm going to, you know, I can't wait to wear my new Skull Drills t-shirt to the show. And then you go to, like, another show, and it's, you know, everybody just has, like, Good Charlotte t-shirts on or whatever. That. Oh, and you're like, man, yeah. I can't fit in with anybody. And, like, yeah, I think it's just okay to be yourself. And at my CD release show that I played here in Pittsburgh last summer, there's a kid for Luxury Problems record. There's a kid there that was talking, and he didn't know that I was there. And he said, Derek used to be so punk. Now he just looks like a dad on vacation. And that's what he said about me, because I just had like khaki pants and like boat shoes on and like a buttoned up shirt and like a hat. And I'm like, Derek used to be punk with, you know, crazy hair or like a vest or, you know, whatever. And now I just look like some old washed up dad on vacation with like shorts and flip flops or whatever. But whatever, man. I don't, it's okay. That's all right. Because one day they're going to turn 30 and quit giving a shit too. So
yeah, isn't that the, you know, it was a friend's birthday Tuesday night and we were at Howler's and we were talking and he was, you know, I'm a little deeper into the 30 thing than he is. And the two other folks with us were not yet 30. The one's about a month away, and is saying, "But what does it mean to be 30?" And yeah, that you just don't have to give a shit anymore about all of that shit.
Yeah,
a lot of that shit. You just, you know, it's now more about, you know, you come into a room and you look for a place to sit down.
Yeah,
that's at the forefront.
It's as close to the beer as possible.
Yes,
you get a seat that's closer to the beer, you win. Doesn't matter if you're wearing like a Misfits t-shirt or not. Fuck it. You know, because all the young kids don't even know who the Misfits are anyway. But yeah, my priorities change, you know, I'm a homeowner now, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And I'm married now, which is even double crazy.
Yeah.
And like, your priorities just change. Like getting hammered in Oakland and sitting on the wall across from the O, like, isn't even on my radar anymore. Or like, you know, just hanging out, you know. Going to, you know, trying to go to, you know, every show that comes to town. It's just like, I'll just go to the shows that I want to go to.
Yeah.
And, like, maybe I can plant a garden in my backyard and can tomatoes in the fall. Like, that's a great goal.
Yeah, I got that going on, too.
That's a goal that I have. And just my values have changed. And, like, I don't know.
Yeah. And so you're working on a new record.
Yeah.
You have some new songs. And we were talking before the start. So one of the themes... Right, you're saying about what do you do while you're alive. And so it seems like this is what we're really talking about.
Yeah.
And so you say you have some songs about that?
Yeah, I have a couple. I have a couple songs. The songs came from, especially What You Do When You're Alive, came from about the contrast of what happens when you die.
Mm.
And there's a lot of things. Once you die, you're out of control of everything. You're out of control of your reputation. Anybody can say anything about you when you die. You're not even there to defend yourself.
Yeah.
And your body can get put into some hole somewhere that you don't even choose.
Yeah.
And they can make you up and make you look like a clown or a model or Frankenstein or any of that stuff. And you can just lay there in a box and people look at you. And you're not really not in control of what happens to you when you die. But what you are in control of is like what happens to you when you get to be alive. And you're in this country, very fortunately, is that like we're in very much control of like what we get to do and what we get to say and how we get to behave and how we get to act and react to very many things. And like for some people, they go to college and they get a doctorate degree to be an English professor and they teach at the university.
Yes.
And like they choose to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And like some people choose to smoke crystal meth and live in a cardboard shack. And like that's a choice they made.
Yeah.
That's a choice that you made.
Yeah.
And I choose to play guitar.
The crystal meth choice.
Yeah, the crystal meth choice.
choice I made, yes.
You know, some people aren't as in control of their choices. Some people are just handed, like, a really shit deal.
Yeah.
Like, you lived in a predominantly white suburban community and
had
certain advantages in life.
Yeah, that my other dad people had that, stable employment and, you know, I was able to afford to go to a private liberal arts college and all that, and people don't.
and other people
weren't full-time student
weren't afforded the luxury to be able to even go to college or like even have parents that cared if they learned how to read.
Yeah, or go to a some way halfway decent high school or school or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, it's.
So I mean, all that gets put into a pot and made into like a big old stew,
mm-hmm.
and you just have to the ingredients that make your stew. You just try and be in control of if you can.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like even if you know, I've watched some videos on the internet and on you know on TV about like people who are given like really bad you know strokes in life, like people that are diagnosed with like leukemia at the age of 16. They're mm-hmm. like, you know, I'm gonna die when I'm 18. So I might as well learn how to play soccer and join how to the soccer team and play the best that I can. Or pick up an accordion and learn how to play accordion. Or learn how to whistle or juggle.
Yeah.
Or try and make a girlfriend or a boyfriend or a whatever. And, like, their lot in life is way more fucked than mine.
Mm-hmm.
But they're making the best of it. And they want to be a professional whistler. God bless them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's all about perspective.
Yeah.
And, like, this life is short, man. I'm 30. I might have 30 more good years left to live, you know, where I'm in control of my mind and in control of my surroundings. I might as well, like, do the things that I want to do. Even if playing coffee shops means I'm poor, I could do that, or I could work at some shit job that I hate and make a little bit more money, and then in 30 years ask myself, like, what the fuck did I do with all the good time that I had?
Yeah.
You know? So I have songs about that. I'll play a couple for you.
Sure.
This is a song about, this is called Some People's Children, and it's a long one, and I'll try to remember all the words. I have them here for me, but it's hard to just look at the computer screen when I'm playing, or remember all the words anyway, but this is called Some People's Children, and it's about the things that you can do and can't do, and people that have things and people who don't have things, and it goes like this. Well, I am not a soldier, but I'm looking for a war. We all gotta die somehow, this much I know for sure. And I am not a rich man, but blessed are the poor. Why do we settle for less and cry and beg for more, beg for more? Paper is singing a song to wash your brain, like the internet and the radio, they both do the same. And Christian television, it has to take the blame for reasons why your mom and dad are filled with so much hate, filled with hate. Some people got nothing and some people got it all. Some people rise to power, some people die and fall. Some people are sinners, some people are saints, but everyone is somebody. So much music that a one-man band can make. There's only so many wrong turns a blind driver can take. And how much good is good enough to say, for goodness sake? Is it a sin to help someone that only knows to take, knows to take? Well, the bankers all got money while everyone is broke. I think they think it's funny when they've got you by the throat. This rat race that you're running ain't nothing but a joke. We all gotta play the hand we're dealt. I guess that's how it goes, how it goes. Some people got nothing and some people got it all. Some people rise to power, some people die and fall. Some people are sinners, some people are saints. But everyone is somebody, and if they're told they ain't. But they can't get a job. They can't pay the bills they have. They have to steal and rob from country club members asleep down by the pool. They may not get to heaven, but they ain't nobody's fool. Nobody's fool. And I can live forever in in a basement or a loft. Wealth has nothing to do with how much your things cost. A brand new car, an old one, still die in the junkyard. Well, greed, debt, and showing off, just make it hard, hard, make it hard. They make it hard.
Yeah,
it's a new song.
Do I apply? Do
I apply on the other person? No, it's no. Just you.
It's just me. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So I've been living with the. You already have two records out. You have Some People Never Go Anywhere, Luxury Problems. Those are the only two, right?
Or there's the only two full length records I have. Yeah. This song's off of a record that I'm making right now called I Can Do Anything I Want to Do If I Want to.
Mm, cool. And so I've been living with them, like, yesterday. Before yesterday, I was completely hopelessly addicted to Queens of the Stone Age.
Yeah,
and,
of course.
But I was like, I better prepare for this podcast. So I've been living with both those records, just in a constant loop. That was my yesterday. And I think, you know, this song, the thing that really impressed me, and it impressed me about the song that you just played, or the thing that I really, really like about your music, is the way you're pointed, yet I think there's also, I dare say, like a vulnerability. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're really speaking from the heart, but you're also saying stuff that some people really don't want to hear.
Yeah.
You know, or it might be a truth. I mean, this has got to happen. Or you say a truth that people know and they know too well, and it's almost a truth that's too hot to handle. That probably is what really pisses people off sometimes,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, how does that go? Or how do you work through that? I mean, to be able to just put it fucking out there, you know?
Well, I think the greatest value that we have as human beings is just our willingness or our desire just to be honest. Yeah. And you have a lot of people out there that claim to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you listen to the Glenn Beck show on the television. He's like, I'm giving you the truth.
Yeah.
And maybe he is giving you the truth. Or you listen to the Daily Show and he says, I'm giving you the truth.
Yeah.
And that might be the truth to him. Or you listen to, I like the Colbert Report myself. That's where I get my news from.
Yeah.
And he says, I'm telling you the truth. Or he says, this is the truth. Or this is the news. Or this is whatever. And those things may be true to other people. But I think even more importantly, a great value is to be true to yourself.
Yeah.
And like, my whole life, you hear this, you hear these ideas or these dreams about what America is and what America's supposed to do for you.
Yeah.
And what it means to be normal or what it means to fit in or mm-hmm. what it means to like have something that's average or good. And maybe in Pittsburgh at one time it was to get a good job in the mill.
Yeah.
And go ahead and retire before you're 40. Or like, you know, whatever that, I don't know what the hell that even looks like or is supposed to mean.
Yeah.
But there's no blanket normal for everybody.
Yeah.
And there's no blanket good for everybody.
Yeah.
And I guess I just want to just think about, like, what have I been told my whole life is, like, normal and okay and average and expected of me? And then just ask the question, like, why?
Yeah.
Why is that supposed to be for me?
Yeah.
And does that line up with, like, my value system?
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't, then I need to figure out, like, a whole new way for me to come up with, like, a value system for myself. Like, I have friends that are vegan and vegetarian, and they do it for, like, very moral and, like, noble reasons.
Yeah.
The only reason I was a vegetarian for quite a bit, and the only reason that I was a vegetarian is because I think the government puts horrible things inside your food.
Yeah.
You know, like evil things inside your food.
Yeah.
Animals, I'm not really a big animal rights guy, even though I think that's okay to be one of those folks too. You know, people do things for different reasons. And I chose not to eat meat because I didn't trust in what they were putting inside my meat. Until the whole like grass-fed organic movement came along that made it more accessible for like average working class people to afford like a pound of chicken or a pound of turkey or a pound of ground meat or pork chops or whatever. And then I was like, well, this fits in with like what I believe to be okay. So maybe I'll have a cheeseburger once a month or whatever. I still predominantly eat vegetarian just because my wife's vegetarian and that's the food we make.
But but
what has to be like what's good for you and like how you can be honest with yourself.
Yeah.
And that's what I try and just have come out in the songs. Like, you know, some people don't have anything and some people have a lot.
Yeah.
And where do you fit at in that? Like, some people are good and some people are bad, but everybody has a value. And just trying to discern, like, what your value is and what you your value is as a person and then what your value system is as maybe a consumer.
Yeah.
Or, like, an American, God forbid, or, if that's the way you view, like, your own identity. But, yeah. I actually have a song kind of about that, too.
Ooh,
from the new record. Huh? Which I don't know if now's an appropriate time to play it.
Yeah, it's always an appropriate time to play a song.
Okay. This is a song about the day that I die. This is more, it's not a sad song. It's just a song about the day that I die. And like, I was walking past the big, huge cemetery in Lawrenceville.
Oh, okay, Arsenal.
The one on the map that's, like, enormous. Yes.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about, like, in the city, that's a lot of land.
Yeah.
Like, that's a lot of land to have.
Yeah.
And then I think about, like, there's cemeteries here in Hazelwood and in Greenfield.
Yeah, Calvary, Have you ever been in there?
No.
I lived in this neighborhood 12 years, and I finally, one day this winter, I took a walk. It's massive. It just goes on and on and on, and the views and the...
Yeah.
It's a really beautiful place. Yeah.
And there's just, like, there's cemeteries all over the place that those people that are lying in those cemeteries will lay in there for possibly and probably forever.
Yeah.
But there's more people being born every day and more people dying every day.
Yeah.
And there's more space that needs to be taken up by those dead bodies.
Yeah.
And there's only so much earth. They have not found new earth yet.
Yeah.
There's only so much of it to have.
Yeah.
And, if people are dying and all that land is being taken up more rapidly than it's being discovered, eventually we're going to run out of land.
Yeah.
And it's just going to be filled with dead bodies. And in 100 years or 200 years or in 300 years, who's going to remember Derek Zanetti from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, that played acoustic guitar and had friends? Maybe I'll make a big impact in this world, but, like, maybe not.
Yeah.
And, like, maybe I'll just be, like, a regular guy that just dies and takes up this space so that, like, a kid can't grow vegetables to feed himself and his family.
Which, so, you know, that the whole thing of the cemetery, that's a 19th century invention.
Really?
Because it used to be the churchyard, of course, and it wasn't until industrialization that we needed the cemetery. Because, and if you've ever been to Europe and go by, you know, sometimes those headstones are a foot or two apart. Well, what they were doing is, well, you just bury people in the churchyard. And so you had parishes that went from a few hundred people to several thousand or tens of thousands of people. And so what actually happened was, is the churchyard became a human compost pile. You couldn't bury somebody without partially digging somebody up. And so you would have, like, arms and legs and shit, you know, and when
meat,
it rained and meat run off and stuff like that right next to the church. And somebody said, why don't we just go somewhere out of town and we'll find a nice place that looks east and do that. But yeah, that was a 19th century invention. I know Greyfriars Cemetery in Scotland, when it rains, like, thigh bones and shit still like pop out of the ground, and
that's crusty.
Yeah, that's a little crusty. Yeah,
that's a little crusty for me.
Yes. So,
I just don't want to be buried like that. I don't want to be remembered that way. And I think that we only get one Earth to be on.
Yeah.
And if I die, which I'm going to, there's a 100% chance that I'm going to die.
Yeah.
That's inevitable. I just, maybe you can just burn me up on a pallet on the Monongahela River, or, I've always thought maybe it'd be a good idea to just, have a collection of, like, carnivorous birds come and maybe eat at my bones, or, start like a cannibal type, community, you know, in Pittsburgh. I'm sure they exist. And just feed me to, like, the poor or something.
Yeah. Well, you know, they have that new process now where it does what the bacteria does, but it does it in like 3 hours.
Oh, look at that town.
And so there's bones and then there's slurry. And it's like zero, almost zero carbon emissions. And they just take the bones and crush up and you have ashes. And then the slurry, they say, can be used as fertilizer. I don't know if it's legal in Pennsylvania yet, but there are states where the new, quote, green burial thing is possible.
I was thinking about maybe trying to come up with a way that we could cremate you or cut you up or put you into a box of some sort with, like, a peach pit or a cherry pit. And then, like,
that would be sweet.
A tree in your honor, in your name, like, mm-hmm. This is the Derek tree, this is the Mike tree, this is the Matt tree, this is the Fred tree, this is the Helen tree, this is the Rosemary tree, or whatever. And then, like, you can have inner city kids learn about farming and agriculture in the city and, like, harvest the peaches, make the peaches into jam, and make a fundraiser so they can open up the Berwyn Pool on Johnson Avenue, or, like,
there you go.
Whatever yeah. they're going to do. But, yeah, this is a song about whenever I die, and it's this is for the new record. It's not finished. I'm still demoing it out, so
we forgive you.
We'll just see how it we'll see how it all turns out here. Well, you can bury me down by the river in the shade of the old oak tree, or lay me down in the backyard, mama, let the raccoons feast on me. But don't put me in no casket, buried deep in the ground. And I don't need no headstone, 'cause I'm not looking to be found. When my body gives up and my spirit it leaves me, burn this bag of bones to ash, send it sailing down the Allegheny. Don't put me in no graveyard for all of eternity. And I don't need to be remembered by folks who never knew me. If I can live happy with this skin given to me, and die with almost nothing but with all my faculties, make a million smiles with my friends and family, I could have lived 1,000 normal lives and never felt this free. You can cut me into pieces, bake me into a pie, serve me up to all my friends in one big buffet line, but don't put my body in no funeral home. Just return me to the dirt so I can go back. Don't fill me up with chemicals, put makeup on my face. Don't let the undertaker sell you a $5,000 vase, 'cause all of that is bullshit, and it's plain to see. Do me one last favor and just forget me. If I can't live happy with this skin given to me, die with almost nothing but with all my faculties, make a million smiles with my friends and family, I could have lived 1,000 normal lives and never felt this free. I could have lived 1,000 normal lives and never felt this free. I could have lived 1,000 normal lives and never felt this free.
No, that's wow. That's you're really good. that's what I got in my professional opinion. No, wow, yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking about that, and it was a few days before I got married, actually. My fiance and I went to that big cemetery, and we're like, we have entrepreneurial minds, I guess, in a way, and we're just thinking about, like, you know, this land will never be used for anything else. Let's take our friends that die, chop them up, put them in a box, put a bunch of cherry seeds in there, and just see if we can get a tree to grow. And we'll just call it, like, Matt Tree.
Yeah.
And we'll see how it goes. Yeah.
Yeah. But. Well, and I think, too, I mean, that's I think that's such a problematic thing for people. I mean, thinking about, you know, life and what your life is and what your personality is and that it'll go away, you know. Something that really depresses my students that sometimes I got to do it and I throw it out there. I ask them, you know, who their great-great-grandparents were. And what do you know about their lives? And it's that quick that you are forgotten, or that that's it, you know. And that's something that people don't like to think about. You know, I think we have these egos and this, you know, desire for permanence, though life is not at all permanent. There's nothing about life that's permanent.
No.
And I think that's, you know, we have such a rage. I think people have such a rage and all that anxiety and all that fear and all that bullshit just from trying to hold on to something or just having some sense. No, this is really what it is.
What depresses you even more than that is one day you're going to die.
Yeah.
And I'm going to die. And I have this huge record collection. You have this huge collection of books and DVDs.
Yeah.
And some hipster from Lawrenceville is going to buy all this stuff at a yard sale for a quarter.
Yeah.
And I'm like, look at that old guy. Have that old record collection. I bought it all for a dollar, and now I don't even know what to do with it. I'm just going to have it.
Yeah.
And,
I have hope my nieces and nephews will be in the cool shit.
Please, dear God, tell them to read books and...
Yeah, I hope so. I hope we'll be the artistic, cool aunt and uncle or something. And then then they'll want all this shit, and then they'll just fight over it. Which
is a bloody
fight. I guess that's better somehow,
Somehow, some morbid, selfish way, yes.
Who gets the Nutrimoc Hotel box set, you know?
I'm fucking taking it now. Yeah. I'll save your family the trouble. I'll just take it off your hands now.
Yeah. So what else do you want to talk about or sing about? I feel like I'm getting in the way.
No, you're not. I'm just I just want to just play some stuff off the new record and maybe
fucking play it. Yeah, let's do it.
I have a song. They're not all about death and things like that, but I wrote this song about musical preference, and it seems like no matter where you go, there's always like this argument about, like, you know, do you like this band? No, I don't like that band. Why don't you like this band? Well, I just don't like that type of music. Or you only listen to punk music. Have you ever heard of, you know, Run DMC? Of course I've heard of Run DMC. I love good rap, and I love good hip-hop, and I love good country, and, like, I love good metal, and I love accordion music. I like it all, as long as it's done well. And I just got caught up in, like, these discussions and arguments about, like, what music was supposed to be, or different genres or subgenres of music, and if you didn't hear this new record, then you don't like music or whatever. So I just wrote a song about musical preference to try and, like, just say what I think about music. So this song's about that. It's called Musical Preference. Ounces to Freedom is a horrible record, and I hate Sublime, and I hate Fleetwood Mac too. I'm sorry, I'm gonna start that over again. I've messed up.
That's okay.
40 Ounces to Freedom is a horrible record, and I hate Sublime, and I hate Mac too. But I can like you, even though your musical preference is shit. And I don't like metal, and I don't like country, but I love Johnny Cash, and I love Black Sabbath tune, and I can learn to like you and let you listen to Gigi Allen or Screwdriver. Bob Dylan, CCR, and Bruce Springsteen have all saved my life like the Holy Trinity, and I'm thankful that I never had to listen to disco or dubstep. And I've got cassette tapes and vinyl records of the coolest bands that nobody has heard. But I would be happy if you let me share them with you. And my friends write songs that inspire me more than some shitty Best Buy CD, more than some top 40 song that was made to be forgotten. When my body dies and I go to heaven, I'll meet Joe Strummer and Freddie Mercury too. Then we'll put on a record for you.
That's it.
That night, wow. Yeah, wow.
Yeah, that's a song. It's called Musical Preference, and it's real simple.
Yeah, which is a weird kind of...
I noticed that whenever I walked into the house, I saw the that Gigi Allen Hating the Nation.
Tomorrow is the 20th anniversary of Gigi's death.
Yeah.
And the last podcast I did was about Gigi Allen.
Really?
And I was saying, because I'm old now, to the younger kids, about how that musical preference really was, at least where I grew up, there were battle lines, man. There was almost a politics to it and a fucking... Like, that was who you were, and there were boundaries, and there were rules, and there was that which was acceptable, and that which was what was not acceptable. And how important that was for people. I mean, I guess it still is important for people, or maybe it's them old, and it doesn't matter as much, but, yeah. I mean, I was saying to my friends about how, you know, I really liked the band Living Color.
Yeah.
And to be a white guy who liked rock and roll music to really be into this band, that band. Like, I almost had to know people.
Yeah.
Well enough before I could confess that. You know, before I could come out as a Living Color fan. Because there were some people who I was really in music with who you know, I talked to music. I would talk with music. Talk about music with. Good podcasty, you know, English pronunciation there. you know, who just would not have that, you know? And they just go, wow, you know, that was a thing that people were uptight about.
It's weird, like, especially whenever you, like, not crossing genres or whatever. Like, it's weird when you play a punk show. When I play a punk show, because the punk kids think that this isn't punk enough. Like, acoustic guitar, that's not punk enough.
Yeah.
And then you got to play a folk show or a country show, and they're like, he's too vulgar and crass, and he can't sing or play the guitar. And I'm like, oh, okay. Thanks. I don't know what to say. Like, yeah, I don't know. I know that I can't sing, and I know that I can't play guitar as well as, you know, I'm not Eric Clapton up here. But it's hard. Musical preference is a huge thing, and especially in Pittsburgh. Like, it's not so much now. Like, it's cool because you get to go to see shows now, especially in the punk scene. Like, pop punk music, and the kids that like that music come to hardcore shows, and those kids are all listening to, like, you know, indie punk stuff and like Roboto. You go to Roboto on any night of the week and there's an awesome band playing. And, like, it doesn't matter what genre you like. You can like anarcho folk punk that has fiddles in it. And you'll find a show at Roboto that has that. Or if you just like the doomiest, sludgiest, like, metal shit, like, there's something awesome for you to go and, you know, hear and see. This is a song I wrote about going crazy. I might need your help here to help me scroll down here because there's a lot of lyrics. If you don't mind.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Try not to screw. Oh no, it's in an Apple product and. Yeah. Okay, I gotta go the other way.
Yeah, we just like convenience. Okay. That's why we buy Apple.
Okay.
So once I get to this part right here, just scroll down to the end of the song.
Okay. Okay.
I'm gonna try to remember. That. I haven't played this song in a while, but I'm gonna try. This song's called "These Protest Songs," and all these songs are protest songs. They're for you guys. Listen. Hold on. Let me try and figure it out. Funny, but I don't give a shit. I also peed in his mailbox when he went drinking at the bar. I stole all the quarters from a Republican fundraiser that was held at the local fire hall. I bought a case of beer and some vinyl records. I didn't lose a wink of sleep at all. Smoking cigarettes, I'll probably go ahead and die of cancer too. But he was abusive, a race, and a dick, and those are all things I never want to do. I saw a giant SUV riding down the road with a stick figure family on the back of their window. I took my BB gun and shot their window out. I stayed inside my room for 3 whole days before coming out. I'm losing my mind, and I don't seem to mind. I'm losing my mind more and more and more and more and more all the time. Birthday party in the fancy part of town. I ate some pizza from the garbage when no one was around. I got caught red-handed and I had to put it down. I was so much older then, I'm younger than that now. Now I'm in my 30s and I'm too old for that shit. The cigarettes and BB guns and stealing's gotta quit. These protest songs are all I know, so have to deal with it. Cause priests and politicians still know how to get me pissed. I'm losing my mind. And I'm, well, don't seem to mind. I'm losing my mind.
Did I screw you up when I scrolled the wrong way?
No, that's
okay,
fine.
Okay,
no.
Okay, I have anxiety.
These songs are all new, and they're still kind of under construction, so, like, I also forget sometimes the chord arrangement, and that's probably just what happened. But,
I think we have time for one more, maybe?
Yeah, that sounds good.
One more?
Do you have any questions you want to ask or anything I haven't answered for you yet?
No. Well, what's the song that you wanted to play today that you haven't played yet?
Okay.
I think that's the best question I could ask.
Okay.
Again,
last
get
one.
Get the hell out of the way.
This is just an intro for a song that I wrote after I read an article. An article that I read by one of my favorite local columnists. And he was talking about, you'll find out. This is just an intro. This is going to be a little piece of the new record. Well, Jesus Christ didn't die for you. To save your 401k, save Chick-fil-A, or kill the Castros. Jesus Christ didn't die for you to be an asshole.
Nice.
Yeah.
Which
that's just going to be something that's just a freebie. It's just free for the record. When you buy the record, you get to have that song. So.
All right.
Well, thanks for having me, man.
No problem.
I really enjoyed it.
There's more. Okay. It's time for the bottom five.
Okay. That sounds
good. A series of questions not related to our main topic. That are of surrealistic and or philosophical nature. Are you ready?
As ready as I'm ever going to be.
All right. Oh, it's not actually that different. What is the limit to experience or personal limitation that most people impose upon themselves?
Education.
In your opinion. Education?
Yeah. I think you can be as smart as you'd like to be, and you can learn as much as you'd like to learn. And I think people limit themselves by that vastly, just the desire to be apathetic. Whether they desire to be apathetic or they're just apathetic by nature, I think the number one limitation people put on themselves is learning and experiencing a new thing. And learning doesn't necessarily mean like sitting in front of a book, but like maybe failing at something is learning.
Yeah.
Maybe
absolutely.
Falling in love is learning.
Yeah.
Maybe
falling
out of love is learning.
Yeah.
You know, I just bought a moped. And I know nothing about mopeds, but it needs fixed. So the only way that it's going to get fixed is if I learn how to fix it.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
I think for a lot of people, too, isn't there that pressure that, you know, it's not perfect. It's not going to be perfect and immediate.
Yeah.
You know, which is...
Which is in the microwave McDonald's society we live in this country, everybody wants that.
Yeah. So what's the strangest injury? Question two. What's the strangest injury you have ever suffered?
The strangest...
Yeah, this almost is worth being in the newspaper. Could have been a Darwin Award if it went really bad. Just the most random, like, how the fuck did this happen?
I've been very fortunate that I haven't had very many injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Most of my big injuries that I've ever had happened whenever I was a kid, just really accident prone.
Yeah.
But I was on a tour a year and a half ago with a band called Harley Poe from Indianapolis, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
They're like a horror punk acoustic folk act. They're really, really great. And we played Grand Rapids, Michigan. And we had a doubleheader that night. And we drank more than we should have. And they asked me to play Washboard on one of their songs.
Yeah.
And... I drank well more than I should have, and I lost my balance, and I fell off the stage, and the washboard broke, and it gashed my hand open.
Oh!
And I had to super glue, and this is on tour, so I couldn't bend my finger
point.
So every show that I played on that whole tour, like, as I'm playing, there's blood coming out of my hand. So I had to, like, super glue, and I tried to, like, maybe slide or do something else. And this was like the maybe the second or third night into tour. And it was just like a bloody mess. And I still have a nasty scar on my knuckle because of it. Oh. But that night, after that happened, I laid in the alley in a pool of my own blood and vomit on my friend Chris's birthday, who plays drums for that band. He actually carried me into some crazy crack house that we stayed in that night. Yeah, so that Grand Rapids, Michigan, when I had to, I should have got stitches in my hand, but I was on tour and I couldn't afford it. So
wow,
that's interesting.
that's maybe the best answer that we've had so far. That is the best answer we've had to that question so far. What is the thing? Question three. What is the thing most people seem to be afraid of, but you're not?
Maybe confrontation.
Mm.
Some people don't like to confront others or to be confronted. Not with, like, Republican-Democrat stuff or, like, Christian-Muslim stuff or, like, America-rest-of-the-world stuff. But, like, just, like, confronting them, even with something good. Like, you know, giving you a tip or giving you a hand. Or some people are afraid to, like, speak into your life in a positive or a negative way. And I know that in my own personal experience, unless I had somebody who has more knowledge or more experience or more of a better way of doing something come to me and impart like some sort of wisdom into my character or into my life or into my mind, I never would have grown.
Yeah.
So like I do it. Some people think I'm being a dick and like, well, if you did things this way, it wouldn't suck for you. But like, I'm not doing it to be to one up anybody or like make them look like a shithead. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying it like, you know, if you continue to hit your hand with a hammer, your hand's always going to hurt.
Yeah.
So maybe you don't want to do that. Or like, you know, don't let me give you music guitar playing tips because I'm not very good. But other things like that, yeah. Just things like that. Just that would probably be it, I'd say.
Yeah. I don't know. Oh, man, I chose some grim ones. So question four, out of all the possible ways to die, what's the way you would least want to die?
Oh, probably keep the death thing drowning, being burned to death would suck.
That would suck, yeah.
Anything involving like tight spaces and being alone,
I think
would be tough. Like just left in like a cooler or like left in like a crawl space and like built into a wall maybe would be bad until I just and left to die would be bad. I'm just really hoping for something like very quick and painless.
Yes.
Like a bullet hole in my head or like dies like some martyr.
Yeah.
That sounds like really cool. At least if I'm gonna die. Like, hey man, what you're doing is wrong.
Yeah.
And then like, you know, being known for that. I think
mine's kind of similar. Mine would be the small enclosed space that fills up with water. See, I would just combine them all.
Yeah.
Combine it. Get some water in there, too, man.
Yeah.
That way you can drown and be alone and be confined.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, last one.
Okay.
Last one. Question five.
Let's hear it.
All right. If you could unmake any invention, what would it be? If there was something, some technology that humanity has created that somebody made, and if you could unmake that invention and just kind of erase it from the historical record, take that technology out of people's lives, if you had that power, what invention would you... 86.
Was laziness ever invented, or is that just like a... Oh, you're talking about like technological advances.
Technological, yeah.
That's a really good question. Maybe the microwave. I don't use microwave. I don't like to use a microwave. I think regular popcorn tastes way better.
Yes, yes, it does.
It
doesn't smell as bad when it goes wrong either.
No. Maybe the CD, the compact disc.
Okay.
Yeah, compact discs. I think the music quality is horrible.
Yeah.
I think it really ruined the music industry as far as, like, placing a value on, like, buying. Like, I like the new Strokes record, let's just say.
Yeah.
So I want to go to the store, and by me showing my support to the Strokes, I'm going to go ahead and purchase that record, and I'm going to listen to it. You can now just have thousands of bands on a computer or in a big wallet of CDs and not listen to half of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Know that feeling. Yeah.
Or the electric toothbrush.
Yeah.
Which goes back to laziness.
Laziness, yeah. All right. Well, I think that's about it. Our next episode will eventually happen, and it will be about something. Our homepage where you can find new and old episodes is GonnaDiePodcast.com. We're also on iTunes, speaking of inventions that ruin the value of music.
I'm on iTunes too, P.S.
Yeah, he's on iTunes too. We'll have... Do you have a website or thing? I'll have links when I post this. But, yeah.
You can go to www.thehomelessgospelchoir.com. You can also go to the Bandcamp, or you can go to the Facebook, or you can Instagram, Twitter, Friendshare, Friendster, or you can just, if you stand on your roof and just yell out Homeless Gospel Choir 3 times, I'll appear.
Wonderful, wonderful. We're also on the tweet box at Gonna Die Podcast. We're all gonna die is on Facebook and Google+, because that's the future. And thanks to Brett Zorich, as always, for the lovely theme music, Later Meets.